Eye of a friend is a good looking glass. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California. The eye of a friend is a good looking glass. Abraham Lincoln said this a long time ago. He had to look into the eyes of his friends and see what he was attempting to do as the great president of the United States. He was a modest man. He was a man who was not really concerned about the world's problems. He was concerned about how he would respond to the world's problems, how he would look at them and how he would react to them and what he would do to make them worthwhile and make them beautiful. The eye of a friend is a good looking glass. Number one, what type of people do we choose as friends? What type of people do we choose to have in our world? What type of people do we live with? Do we live by? Who is our family? Who are those who really love us and who really care about us? Are they the people who are fighting us? No. Are they the people who are agreeing with us at everything? No. Are they the people who are reflecting our own attitudes, whatever that may be? And that answer, of course, is yes. The people who reflect what we believe about ourselves, they are really who our friends are. Because then they respond back to us in attitudes, in gestures, in appearances of what it is that we think for ourselves. So, if we think for ourselves that we should have another piece of cake, and our friend looks at us and says, raised eyebrow, now, you've been saying you wanted to take off weight, and yet you are indiscriminate. You eat more cake. You eat more waffles. You eat more goodies that are going to add weight to you. You don't really want to take off weight. That one gesture says all that. One gesture. We see that gesture in their eyes. We see that gesture in it. But that's a reflection of us. That's a reflection of who we are. Now, they don't have to say a word, and we don't have to say a word. But we know what we must do. We must either be true to what we say of ourselves, or we must change what we say of ourselves. Either way, it's perfectly okay. But we must be true to ourselves. As the saying is, if you're true to yourself, you can be false to no one. And this is true, because everyone is our reflection. The eye of a friend is a good looking glass. But what do we see in our friend's eyes? Well now, if we see in our friend's eyes love, then that's a beautiful thing too. If we see in our friend's eyes anger and hatred, because we're both going to a rebellious meeting of some sort, then that's what we're going to have. If we see in our friend's eye understanding and compassion, that's what we're going to have. Can we go to the same rebellious meeting with understanding and compassion in our hearts? Surely. Whatever things we go to, whatever things we want out of them, we get. There were a number of people who were on a rebellion. They were having a sit-in. You know what a sit-in is? Where they were objecting to some passage of a law or some activity that was being done. And they sat on the street in front of the courthouse, objecting to what was being done because they felt it was a travesty on reality. One couple sat there, and they had the attitude in their mind that they wanted to have understanding, and they wanted to have a compassion for the situation. Not just out and out no, but they wanted to know what was going on. And all the rest of them had anger in their eyes and venom in their heart, wanting to get after the lawmakers who were making such a stupid law. Well, the police rounded up these people and took them in for questioning and for interrogation, you know. And so everyone went except the couple who had the desire for compassion and understanding in their heart. Now, how could the police know that this couple was looking only for understanding and compassion? They were not trying to be rebellious. How did they know that? How did the police know that? Why did the police skip them? Well, they were just lucky. They were just lucky the police didn't pick them up. No, not at all. They had in their heart the desire to know, not the desire to rebel. They were part of the rebellion because they were part of the group of people who wanted to go and seek redress and justice for what was being done. But these people were not really a member of the mob. They were going along for information. Now, the police did not pick them up. You say that's kind of strange because they were part of the same group. No, not at all. They did not have that in their heart, in their mind. Now, many times you turn on television, and the television says, sex show, big old sex show. And you say, I wonder what that's all about. And so then you leave it tuned into the channel and you watch. Now, your brother is in his room. He is same age as you are. And he sees this sex show. And he has absolutely no curiosity. It's not that he's not a normal boy, not a normal young man who is interested in sex under right circumstances, but he is not a voyeur. He is not someone who wants to look at other people having sexual acts. That was not anything important to him. So therefore, there was no question about what he would watch. There was no question. And as you turned on this television station in your living room, you were sitting there with your mother and father, and you were a post-teenie and so forth, and the doorbell rings. And mother gets up and goes out to answer the doorbell. And she finds it's a friend, and they go out on the front porch and sit and talk. And when she's done talking, the show is over. Now, Dad, he's not interested in this stuff either. He's just interested in what his daughter is interested in. And he sees it, and he mentally turns it off and goes back to his newspaper. He does not listen to it. He does not hear it. He does not even know what's going on. He is not in the least bit titillated, in the least bit interested in it. But his daughter wanted to see it. So here's a household full of four people. Each person with their own agenda, their own desire, and each person doing what they want to do in the same exact circumstances where they all have the opportunity to do whatever or not. Now, you say, well, she wasn't that fortunate that the neighbor lady came over and wanted to talk at that moment. No, it wasn't. She created a diversion. She didn't have the courage not to leave the television set, because the television set possesses you, you know, it owns you. She didn't have permission to leave her daughter watching these things, because her daughter was of age to watch anything she wanted. But the thing is, she created herself being called away. And the father, the weakest of them all, he didn't have any desire to watch the stuff either, but he merely used the newspaper as a way of being distracted. And so he was distracted. Now, you see, we can have many diversions, and we can have many opportunities to do whatever we want to do. But do you take them? And if you don't take them, it's not because you can't. It's because you don't want to. Now, when a person is being unkind to you, and they're swearing at you, and they're angry at you, and they're saying you're a terrible person, and you're not doing anything right, now, You could just say, thank you very much for telling me, and then go about your business. And that is the coolest thing you could do. Or you could ignore them and go about your business, and that's not too cool, because then they know they got to you. Now, you could go about your business and ignore them if you are the master, and then they didn't get to you. But you see, the moment you respond to the situation instead of responding to who you are, then you are showing where you are on this road of life. You're showing through the experience of the eyes what's going on. So, if a person gives you a hard time, the only thing to do is just to say to the person, thank you, and then go about your business. They don't run your life. They don't tell you how to live. They don't tell you what to do. You don't tell them what to do. You do what you know is right, and you're untouched. Now, you become touched when you let that little anger spark grow up inside of you, and then you want to retaliate. You want to go back at them. And of course, if you want to go back at them, then that's a perfect indication of who you are. You are an evil person. Now, if you don't want to retaliate, you just want to say, hey, cool. Has anyone ever blamed you of something you didn't do? Seriously? Have they ever blamed you of something you didn't do? And then you said, that's not true, but then you let it go. You didn't defend yourself. You said the fact, that's not true, but you didn't defend yourself. And then things got worse to worse, and all your friends left you, and the world changed against you, and you were just out of it. Now, how could that happen? How could that happen when you stand up for principle? Well, it happens like in the story of Job. In the story of Job, he was contested many, many times, and still he stood up for principle. Just because you and I stand up for principle once, that doesn't mean that we're the master. It means that we're looking toward being the master. We're looking toward being the kind of person that when someone looks into our eyes or we look into their eyes, we see a person of quality, a person of merit. Can you each do this? Can you each stand up for principle? Can you each know who you are? Could you each walk out on a movie that was not pleasant for you? Oh, I've done that lots of times, you say. No, no. You did that when other people were present, because you didn't want them to think that you liked that kind of movie. But did you ever walk out on a movie that you were watching yourself, personally, and decide that, hey, this isn't my type of thing, and just shut it off? Okay, now, let's take that a step further. Why did you turn on that movie in the first place? Why did you think that movie was a good movie when you do know everything? You do know. Yeah, when you go to pick up a video, for instance, at the video store, you say, I know this is the kind of movie we want. And then you pick it up. But if you go in there and say, what do you think? They don't know what's going on in your heart. They don't know who you are. They don't know the value judgments that you have. They don't know the sincerity and the joy and the love that you are. Don't ask anybody. You just say, I know. And then you pick the right one. You don't even have to look at it. You just go over there, eyes closed, I know. And then your hand, like the Ouija board, will go right to the one that is right for you. But it's no joke. It really works that way. It really works. But believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Have you ever played with the Ouija board? The Ouija board is a board that has letters on it. And it has some other little symbols on it. And like it has answers yes, no, and then A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. And you put your hands on the Ouija thing, and other people put their hands on, whoever want to be involved, and you all get your little fingers on there. And then the little thing moves around, and you say, how old am I? And you're asking the question, and you're 32, so it would go to 3 and 2. Hey, that's right. Now, everybody in that group didn't know you're 32. They may have thought you were something near that, but they went right to it. So then you say, will I ever find my true love? And it goes, yes, 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 you know, or no. And it merely is an indication of what's going on in your heart. What is your attitude? And then it sort of emphasizes that, redefines that. And then you can go to the Ouija board and say, what time is it? You know, and then it'll give you the exact time, right down to the minute, because it knows. It's a universal knowledge. It's universal beingness. And you think it's some magic that's going on in there. Well, it is a type of magic. So you're like that. You're like that Ouija board. It's written all over your eyes, what you believe about yourself. It's written all over your face and your body, what you believe about it. They call it body language, remember? Mm-hmm. And that body language is a very definite language, very powerful language. And it shows exactly what you've got in your mind. And you may tremble over something, and you may give off a false opinion. But you see, if I say to Sylvia, Sylvia, here is a dead fish for you to eat. And Sylvia says, yuck, you know. Now, if I say, Sylvia, here is a beautiful trout that I've just brought home. Would you prepare it for supper? Oh, I love trout. Yes, and you see, but if I say a dead trout, then right away it has a different feeling. And you see, it's not an honest opinion, because she loves trout, and every trout that she eats is going to be dead, believe it or not. But when you call it dead, then, you know, you call it bad. Then you call it, you know, not good. But these are things that we have to be careful of, because the world is going to use these on us by our choice, and we're going to be touched by them when we shouldn't be touched by them. Now, Sylvia, I'm going to give you some rotten milk to eat. And you say, oh, come on now. Sylvia, I'm going to give you some aged cheese to eat. Ooh, what kind is it? It's my favorite, you know. Rotten milk and aged cheese are virtually the same thing. And they're made just slightly different, but the big thing is they both come from the same source and operate through the same fermenting aspect. Now, we want to be very careful with our life. If I say, Ingeborg, I'm going to introduce you to one of the most famous puppies in the world. I better say cat, because she loves cats. Ingeborg, I'm going to introduce you to one of the most wonderful cats in the world. And this cat is so fantastic that it is, that this cat just doesn't have any idea what's going on. Neither does Ingeborg, who is sound asleep. Yes, Ingeborg, don't shake your head, no. You were sound asleep. We tried to wake you 3 times, Ellen and I, and finally I had to throw the Visine bottle at you, or excuse me, the Simulazon bottle at you. And what happens? What happens? If I bring a little kitten to you, and I say, Ingeborg, here is a kitten for you. You immediately become very motherly and say, oh, show me the little guy. Now if I say, Ingeborg, this kitten has been out in the wind and the snow and the weather, and it's just about dead. Now shall I just help it to finish it off? Or, oh, no, 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 give me the kitten, give me the kitten. And so she takes the kitten, and she puts it inside her blouse, and she warms it up. And she loves it, and she has a warm cup of milk for it. And she's tired. She's had a very full day. She's worked hard. She's got all the mailing lists done and did everything that she wanted to do. But because this little kitten needed her attention, she was wide awake. She was full of life. Now, if I were to say to Ingeborg, Ingeborg, here is a little rattlesnake that ran over on the road, and he's still alive. Ingeborg would say, well, help him. Move to his next dimension. No. Would Ingeborg take him and put that rattlesnake in her blouse? Not hardly. Now, is that a life too? Is that something beautiful too? Now, what's the difference between the word kitten and rattlesnake? You might say quite a difference, but really not. You know, in India, they have these cobras, and they're most amazing snakes. And the cobra can be trained, believe it or not. It can be trained to do lots of interesting things. And it's frightening to most people. But the trainer is right at home with it. The trainer can pet it. The trainer can kiss it. The trainer can do anything. But somebody else come along, why can't they do it? They have fear in their heart about what this creature is going to do to them. And that fear is what hurts them, not the creature. Because the creatures basically want to get away from unlike creatures of themselves. They want to get away from humans. They want to get away from larger animals and so forth. They're only after little mice and rodents and rabbits and things like that, things they can handle. So why then would a human be worried about such a creature? Because every time you went by a creature like that, you were afraid, oh, are they going to bite me? Are they going to strike me? And that conscious thought puts into motion what their next response is to be. So if we were to say, well, how beautiful. How beautiful you are as a rattlesnake. I watch you as you go across the path here. You're a big guy. You're over 3 feet long. You're 4 feet long. You're whatever. Man. And you're fat. You must have just had your supper. And he says, that's right. And I'm going home and I'm going to digest it. So don't disturb me because I'll be gone for about a week or so. It takes me to digest this or better. So, and you say, hey, cool. Where do you live? In that rock pile there. I'm not so sure that I'm living there now, but that's where I live. Well, why aren't you sure that you're living there now? Because I just had this big meal, and I don't know that the big meal and I are going to fit into, into that hole. But I think we'll work it out. I'll undulate myself in there and squeeze him through, and we'll make it fine. Well, have a good hibernation time while you're in digestion time. And not in digestion, while you are digesting your food. So, do you think that rattlesnake was angry at me? Do you think I was fearful of him? We had a program at the ranch, and we were all sitting outdoors under a live oak tree. We had maybe about 40 people there. It's quite a nice crowd. And it was a Sunday service, and I was up there giving my talk, and Richard Wangerman was sitting on the edge of the group with his wife. And he says, Herb, and yeah, he says, there's a rattlesnake here. It's coming right toward me. And I said, so, he said, tell him to go away. And so I went back there and I saw the rattlesnake. And I said, rattlesnake, you know that these people are very frightened of you. They don't know what to think about you. So why don't you just turn right around and head straight back for the hills? It's better for you and better for them. And at that moment, the rattlesnake turned around and headed for the hills. And they thought, my Herb, aren't you wonderful? And I thought, yes. And so the rattlesnake went. And we were giving a lecture at Meal Meditations, and we were out in the hills and in the rattlesnake-infested rocks. And I was standing up on a rock there, talking to people about the Essene teachings, and they were sitting on a bench and standing and so forth, and then one of the women said, "Ooh!" I said, "Yeah." "I heard a rattlesnake." And I said, "Yeah, there. And then she jumped up, and in the process knocked the bench over, so everybody else fell down into the bushes where the rattlesnakes were. And I said, "No, relax, be calm." And I went down there, you know, no protection on my body from anything else. And I walked over to the area where the snake was, and I said, "Boy, you scared these guys good. You must have had your adrenaline rush for today." And the snake says, "Yes, sure did." I said, "Now, would you mind going away so I could continue with the tour here and telling these people all about meal meditations?" And the rattlesnake says, "Well, I was listening too." And I said, "Well, that's nice, but you can listen from a little further distance. You've got good ears." So he shook his rattle a couple times, and then he went away. And, of course, they all heard me saying these things, and they all thought, "My goodness, what marvelous mastery over rattlesnakes and other things." And it's true. But anybody can do it. It's just a matter to do it and believe in yourself. And the rattlesnake went away. And we continued with our talk and our walk, and none of them, if you can visualize this, none of them had an ounce of fear in them. Because I made the rattlesnake as a friend, and none of them had an ounce of fear. But you see, this is what happens when you like yourself. This is what happens when you have looking out of your own eyes, the purity that you are, so therefore you see it reflected in the eyes of all those around you. It's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. And it's something that works. It's really amazing. Really amazing. We had a wedding in the Essene Chapel, and this was all outdoors. And this was when Joe and John got married. And they were there with all their friends and relatives, and Mark was standing in the background, and he was standing by a big rock, which is known to have many rattlesnakes in it. And the people wanted to go back there and sit by the rock because it formed a nice bench. And Mark said, "Let's stay forward there." He didn't tell them why. And so then we had the wedding. It was very good. Everything was just beautiful. And then at the end of the wedding, as the couple were kissing, the rattlesnake started waving their rattles from the rock. And of course it reflected, you know, the noise. It was like a choir coming out of the rocks. And everybody looked at the rocks, and their hair stood up on end like a dog, you know, or like a cat. And I said to him, "Hey, they were there all along. They just were putting their imperator, their sanction on this wedding, saying that this wedding is good and very good." And actually, Joel and John are still married and very happy. And I don't know their ages, but I think that Joel is maybe 86 and John is 81, something like that. But they're just doing great. They're just doing fantastic. But they'll never forget that. Nor will their friends who came to see this marvelous wedding. But you see, it's all reflected in your eyes. Whatever you believe, it shines out, and whatever it is, it gets affecting, or it affects the world around you. So it pays for us to keep our thoughts and words and ideals clear and pure and beautiful, because the world is our reflection. The world is our mirror. Everybody's eyes are our mirror, and what we see there is who we are. And so let's see in the world, in everyone's eyes, the purity, the goodness, the wonder, the magic that we are, because it is true. Have a lovely day. I love you, and I see everything going just beautiful for you, for now and forevermore. And so it is.